John chapter number 3, verses 15 to 17. An important message from God. It seems today that everyone either has something they want to say or has something they do say. The news media wants us to listen to them. The politician may or may not want us to listen to them or her. Advertisers, now they definitely want us to listen to what they have to say, because what they have to say, they want to lure us in to buy their products, whatever those may be. And again, advertising is what it is. It works, you know. But everyone has something that they want you, they want me to listen to pay attention to something. Most of these, not that I'm being critical necessarily of what the ones that I just listed, but many times those that we just talked about have very to little of eternal value. You know that product that you had to have because you saw the infomercial, and it'll be in your next yard sale or garage sale or whatever it may be. And I'm guilty of those things, okay? Man, that gadget right there, whatever it is, that would just revolutionize my life. I don't really need that thing. But the advertiser got me. The one that was selling whatever it may be, Brother Alex, reeled me in. And then their message was heard, and it was effective. But what I used that money for really did not have the value that I could have bought something else or invested it in something of greater value. Now, we have a message in John chapter 3. God wants us to hear this message. It's a message that was given by His Son. It's a message that was given to a religious man. Religious man. We know his name from the earlier verses of John 3 to be Nicodemus. Jesus is giving him a message from God. And that message is as important for you and for me as it was for this religious man named Nicodemus. Time does not take away from the importance of this message. Time does not take away from the value of this message. We are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even maybe thousands of years from when this message was originally given. Possibly the reference, John 3:16, is maybe one of the, if not the most famous reference of a chapter and verse in the Bible of any particular one. You've maybe seen it on a cardboard thing or a bulletin board type thing, poster board, that's what I'm looking for, at a sporting event, or you've heard, I mean, again, John 3:16, so many different times over. And yet I would hope and pray that in this hour that we recognize the word that we've given to this is important. It is an important message. It's not a message humanly speaking. It is a message of eternal value. Let's jump into this message and make application with the Lord's help. Number one, this message is about love. God's message is about love. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to need to turn a little quicker maybe than we normally do. And maybe I go too fast on regular weeks. And I'm sorry, but I might be even a little bit of hyperspeed today. But just catch what you can. But we're going to do much into the Word of God. And may the Word of God do much in our lives. God's message is about love. Number one, letter A, we're going to see the source of this love. The source of this love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Let's read that verse out loud. Ready? Begin. "We love Him because He first loved us." The He there is talking about our Heavenly Father. God's love is pure. God's love is holy. God's love is always seeking the best for those whom He loves. God's love is freely given without hope or desire for anything in return, because God is love. Our love may be like God's love at times, but many times my love is not like God's love in this sense that I am only loving someone who loves me. I am only loving someone who I know will return that love. But that's not the God, the love that God has for sinners like me and sinners like you. God's love is pure. God's love has no ulterior motive. God's love is always given first. We love Him because He first loved us. And again, humanly speaking, we would have to admit that many times in our life, we're waiting for somebody to love us first. If you'll love me, do you love me? Check yes. No, God didn't do that. We love Him because He first loved us. Not only do we see that, we turn back to John chapter number 3, God's message about love. It's an important message from God today, first and foremost. And by the way, this is where it all begins. For God so loved the world. The message of hope that we have for this world, the message that we took into the streets this week and that we take every week. And just because John 3:16 campaign is over per se, it's never over. It's never over until someone stops breathing. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to be crass, but it's never over until someone's dead. And by the way, when someone's dead, it's over. There's no decision after death for the gospel. You will make your decision about the gospel prior to death. Here's the good news. Take this finger right here. Take this finger. You got it? You got this finger? Take this finger. Don't use your thumb. Take this finger right here and go right over here on your wrist like this. Hopefully you can find a vein in there. It's hard for me. And maybe if you can feel in there somewhere, those of you that are, know more about this than me, you're going to feel a pulse. You feel something, Brother Alex? Okay, good. If you're not feeling anything right now, raise your hand really quick. We're going to have to come back and help you. I learned in school, don't use your thumb because, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right, and way back in school, when I was in school, I did a report on pulse, and supposedly the thumb has its own pulse. Okay, good. I was right then. Good. What I read was correct. If whatever you read online is correct, right? No, you had to go to books when I was in school. Amen. Get that book out. But anyway, so you felt something. That means you're alive. I'm just being a little bit facetious there, but the good news is everyone in here is still alive. In all seriousness, though, you have no indicator of knowing when that heart's going to stop pumping. The fact that you're alive today is good news, especially if you're not saved. If you're not saved, it's a good thing you're alive. Because that means God is long-suffering, and He's giving you today another day to get saved. God's not willing that any should perish. Because why? Because God is love. God is love. It's the source of love. Then we see just how big this love is. We could use the word scope. It's big. Look what it says in John 3:16. For God, we are told that God so loved the world. So loved the world. It's a small word, but it indicates the depth of His love. It is a deep love that motivated God to do something unthinkable. I am a parent, and I can't even begin to think about giving my son for anyone in this room. I cannot begin to think about giving my son Caleb, our son Caleb's life, so that any of you, now I love you folks, but I can't even begin to fathom giving his life for any of your life so you could go to heaven. But that's what God did. God gave his son. God gave his son. It motivated God to send his son to die for the lost world. That would include me. That would include you. What was the object of God's love? The object of God's love was the world. That's not this globe that we look at. That's you. That's me. The object of God's love, we learned about in the Sunday school hour, is people. Sinners. In need of a Savior. He so loved the world. It is a special love that seeks to give itself away on behalf of those whom he loves. We read it earlier in 1 John 4:19, but I'll read in 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. By the way, 1 John will give you a lot about the love of God. I encourage you to read that book this week. It's 5 chapters long. You'd sit down and probably read it in about 15, 20 minutes. I'm not saying rush through it. Maybe just read a chapter a day. You could take 5 days and really get into it. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth not. If you're having trouble loving today, the Bible says he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. His essence is love. His entire essence is love. Everything that he does comes from that. For God so loved the world. I think today that we might even be as believers in this room today, and we might wonder, okay, what about this? This has come into my life, and how can God love me? I wrote this down. Regardless of what life may have been delivered to me, and regardless of what may have come to me in my life, it is clearly evident in the Word of God that God loves me. Over and over and over again, we've given you scripture here from the Word of God. And also, we read in Romans chapter number 8. I won't turn there. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. It talks about that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. For God so loved the world. It's also, we see, letter C, that this love is sacrificial. The love of God, as we've already said, is not centered on God, it's centered on us. God's love is active. God's love sent someone to the nursing home today for a 102-year-old lady. That's not to lift up the one who gave the message. That's just God's love. Hey, God's love this week. God's love this week confronted people with truth. You realize that God has no there's no reason why God would even, and I'm thinking about it right now in the way I process things, not in the way God does, because he processes things completely different than me. Praise God for that. But there's no reason why God would even allow someone who curses him to be given his message. But this week, and many times over, we were giving God's message, not to me directly per se, but where God's message was cursed. One particular event, a gentleman had a hold of flyers, and somebody came over to him holding flyers at the Metrotown SkyTrain station. And this, I think it was a lady, actually, or a female, I should say. And she went over, and she just really hard, wham, and knocked all the flyers out of his hand. And then went over to where a box of flyers were and picked up an entire box of flyers and just threw it. You know what? If I'm God, I have one of those zapping fingers. I just go, you're done. And that's what you'd do too. But that's because we don't have the love God has. It's impossible. We need to get closer to that kind of love. I don't mean that I would think I would do that quick, but I probably would in the flesh. But you know what? God loves that lady. God died. God sent Jesus Christ to die for her. He loves that individual as much as he loves you. He loves that individual as much as he loves me. God's love is sacrificial. Wonder today, how are we doing with our love? As we think about our love in this first point, God's love is seen in the gracious gift. It's active. That's what I was saying. It's active. It doesn't sit quietly by and men drop off into hell. No, God's getting his word. God's written it on the heart of every man. Romans chapter 1. That's God's love. You know, today I pulled up my Facebook account and I saw a post. I was trying to find out about the 6th anniversary of the Faith Baptist Church in Muhindi. 6 years ago, right now, there were 5 people from Anchor Baptist Church in Uganda helping start a Bible preaching church there in Muhindi, a very mountainous area, a very rural area. And today, by the grace of God, they had over 1,000 people. And then no buildings. Well, they had one building, and then they had a tent. The pictures, Pastor Zebedee put the pictures up, and they had people all over. And I don't know why he did this. I guess it was a great opportunity to share the gospel. They had a wedding. They had a wedding ceremony on their 6th anniversary of the church. There were 600 children and 500 adults, give or take. And we're talking no electricity, no running water. I remember standing there and just looking out, and it's like that one poem or that one statement, all you see is a little bit of smoke coming up from all the huts. I mean, it's amazing. Over 1,000 people. God would use his people, and God would use someone to influence. Pastor Zebedee, and 6 years ago a church would be planted, and now by the grace of God they've got land, and their next goal now is to build a school and start a school. And as soon as they can get that school built, they would have hundreds of students. And by the way, they're not relegated in Uganda of what they can teach. They're going to be teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they're going to be teaching the Word of God. And they have no regulations. Those schools in those countries are excellent tools. Right after that, about 10 minutes later, I got a text message from the pastor in Pastor Samuel Pay in Liberia, where we helped finish building that building. And he said, Pastor Turner, we had a great Lord's Day service. Thank you very much. Please pray with us. Our vision now for the church is we need to build another building and start a school. Because we've got numerous people within the village here the kids don't go to school anywhere. And again, praise the Lord. What is that all about? That's about God's love. It is the source of it, the scope of it. It is sacrificial. Let's move on quickly to number 2. This message is not only about God's love, but this message is God's message about life. Life. Letter A, the worth of life. God was not content to see man lost in his sin. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 quickly, quickly. Genesis chapter 3. How soon did God get on this? Well, in the pages of Scripture. This is where we see Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Here it is, Genesis 3:15. We're talking moments after the fall. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here we see the promise of the Messiah who would come through the woman, the seed of the woman, who would provide eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would provide eternal life, the worth of life. God was not content to watch humanity like me and like you march off into an endless eternity without hope. God declared us to be worthy of his love, worthy of his grace because of his son. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Romans chapter 8. Think about our view of life today. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad what mankind's view of life is today? With abortion, what it is. With murder, what it is. I mean, God places great value on life. May we see that as well. The value of life. And how much God invests in life. Romans chapter 8, verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If that's the verse I wanted. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible declares the lost man to be the enemy of God. I think I have the wrong reference there. The worth of life. Secondly, we see, let's go back to our text, we see the worry of life. We see one word. It's the word perish. The word perish. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, and there's the word perish. The word perish means to destroy, to give over to the misery of hell. I submit to you this afternoon, there is a greater worry than cancer. There is a greater worry than cancer. Many people have dealt with cancer. I have. Thank the Lord I don't have it now. You have, possibly. Maybe you're dealing with it now. A family member may be dealing with it. There's something far greater than cancer. There's something far greater than having an incurable disease of another sort. There's something far greater than losing something of material value. There's something far greater than experiencing a great loss when it comes to the physical realm in which we live. And we know today, if we've read God's word in any length, we know that there's the greatest concern is this word perish. The greatest tragedy is someone who can go through this life, can go through this life and take their last breath and their first breath be hell in eternity. This Thursday we had the privilege of talking to a man 88 years of age, Brother Tejada and I. Would you pray for him? 88 years of age, one of the nicest men I've ever talked to. So kind, so congenial, so warm and so welcoming even. But so lost. Confirmed in a Lutheran church many, many years ago. Worked hard. Reared a family. Probably was a very moral man in the sense of most people. Morality probably very high. When I began to try to turn the conversation to eternity, this is really what he said. He said, you know what? I'm really not worried about it. When I die, I'm just going to go wherever. And he said it not with pomp. He didn't say it with pride. He didn't say it in cockiness. He just said it as if the devil has literally lured him to sleep. And my heart broke. And I listened to him a little bit more. I listened to him a little bit more. And I tried a second time to go into a little bit more. And again, I didn't want to push him into anything. And I wouldn't push him into anything. But even to try to get the plan of salvation into his ears so that he can at least hear the word of God. I really couldn't even. I said, you know what? I had my New Testament. And I said, you know what? I'm going to quote a verse to you. He'd been challenged to, you know, just give the Bible. Really, no one needs to hear what you or I have to say, but if we can give them God's word, you know, my word is not quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but God's word is. And I said, sir, I just want to quote you one verse from the Bible, and I quoted John 3:16. Obviously, that's what we were thinking about. And I said, I just want you to know, sir, God loves you. It didn't change him, at least from on the surface, but I said, you know what? And Brother Tejada, he's his neighbor. They live just up the street. I said, he's your neighbor, and he's going to come back and check on you. He welcomed that. But I thought, you know what? This man seemingly is at peace. When I die, whatever. My heart breaks for that man because you and I know, if we know the Bible, it's not whatever. It's not that he's going to take his last breath. He's 88 years of age. I mean, he's already past the 70 plus 10. He's into that overtime, literally overtime, overtime. And yet he seemingly is content with how he's lived his life, content with how he's had married, 56 years or 60-some years? unbelievable amount of years of marriage. And again, we would look at this man today. We would look at this man even with human eyes, and we would think, this man is a very good man. But that is not what the Bible has to say. The Bible says there's going to be many good people in hell. There's going to be many moral people in hell. Pray for this man. Pray for this man. His name is Alex. Pray that this man would fall under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Because I know where this man is going when he dies if he doesn't come to Christ. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That's where Alex is headed without Christ. By the way, that's where you're headed without Christ. You know not Christ today. If you're trusting in your morality, if you're trusting in a baptism somewhere in your past, if you're trusting in your merit, if you're trusting in anything other than the finished work of Christ, that is the worry of life, the word perish. Remember, God is not willing that any should perish. God's love was demonstrated on the cross, and Jesus endured the mocking, and Jesus endured all the punishment so that you would not perish. Jesus endured all of that so no one would perish. Today you might be just 10, 12 years old, and you know the gospel. You know it frontwards and backwards. But I might say that not every 10 and 12-year-old might be that way, so I'm going to be very careful what I'm about to say. But most 10 to 12-year-olds, they know the difference between right and wrong. I believe that most 10 to 12-year-olds are accountable. You die without Christ, you recognize the difference between right and wrong and what God has done for you, and you don't receive that, you're going to die without Christ. You're going to spend eternity in hell. And there's no get out of hell free card. You won't get out. It's forever and ever and ever. Perishing. You know Christ? Remember, we started with God's love. Literally, people that are in hell crawled over top of God's love. Because God sends no one to hell. Did you hear that? God sends no one to hell. A choice is made. A choice is made. God's message about life, the worth of life, the worry of life. Oh, even religious people. Even religious people. Quickly go with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Oh, I'm talking about the religious elite. I mean the A-team of religious people, you know. Surely they're getting in. Let's see what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, notice, Jesus speaking here, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Maybe you look at the first ones and we say, well, I've not really cast out any devils recently. I don't know that I've prophesied in the name of the Lord, but, you know, I've tried to do a lot of wonderful things in the name of the Lord. And by the way, there are churches all over Vancouver that could fall under that category. By the way, we're concerned about this one. This one, that we would be doing the things of God in the Bible way. Oh, but there are many places that have a steeple taller than this one, that have posh buildings way nicer than this one. They've got it all. They've got the chanting and the rubbing of the beads, and they've got this and that going for them. They have everything religiously speaking, and they might even use God's name involved in their time of gathering, whatever it may be. But Jesus said here, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Why? Because verse 21, you did not do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The will of the Father, we can find it in numerous places. But in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is not Anchor Baptist Church. That's Jesus' words. Again, let's emphasize that when we talk to people. The words of the Savior, the word of God. Not only the worry of life, but we must move along. Letter C, we see the wonder of life. What will we enjoy? What will the saved enjoy? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that as a saved man and a saved lady, perishing is done? The only perishing that will be done is in a physical sense. And that's not what this word perish is really talking about anyway. It's talking about in a spiritual sense. So when you got saved, the moment you got saved, look what it says in John 3:16. What will we have? Everlasting life. That's the wonder of life. It's everlasting. And so as we think about the perishing in hell, and by the way, if you're not saved, this everlasting life is not yours yet. But it can be. It can be today. It can be today. Everlasting life. We never die. Why? Because we know the Prince of Life. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John 11, verse 25. Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the what? Life. Focus on that. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, that's those that are without Christ. So today, if you're without Christ, you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall, what's the next word? Never. Never. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, shall never perish, shall go from the body to the presence of the Lord. I mean, think about that. That is the wonder of this eternal life. Oh, we have had dear loved ones in recent months and in recent times where death has claimed their body. It's part of the curse. Death has claimed many a body, and it will keep claiming bodies, but it cannot, if with Christ as our Savior, it cannot claim the soul. It's the wonder of everlasting life. Think about it. The spirit of the redeemed will live on forever with Jesus. Wonder of life. It's everlasting. The difference between the saved man and the lost man lies in one word. Maybe two. It lies in the name Jesus. What have we done with Jesus? I know many of you here this afternoon, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. By the way, this is a time to rejoice in that. This is a time to give God the glory and the praise for that. But this is not the time to keep that message to yourself. This is not the time to keep the wonder of everlasting life hidden. This is the time, if there's ever been a time, for us to take that message that God has given to us and spread it into this world in which we live. Brother Smith was telling about going to Zimbabwe, or maybe it was Zambia, or different places in Africa. And he was saying how in some places they drive through, there's just so many people that literally they toss the tracks outside the car. They come to a point, and I remember a couple of points that we came to in Uganda that we got out of the van, and I was beginning to wonder, should we have got out of the van? And I wasn't really concerned about, being hurt, but we were a little lighter skinned, and so we kind of drew attention. Who are these people? And everybody just, regardless of what we had, it didn't matter. And I mean, here we have a box of Swahili for our Swahili sisters over here. We have some Swahili speakers in here now. And we had a box of Swahili, John and Romans. We had a box of English, John and Romans. And within literally a few minutes, everything's gone. All distributed. And again, I praise God for 32,000 pieces of gospel literature in 3 days in the Lower Mainland going out. That's a blessing. You say, where are all the results? Doesn't matter. That's God's job. It isn't my job to convict anybody. It's my job to proclaim truth. It's not your job to convict anybody. It's our responsibility to proclaim truth. Wonder of life. God's message is about love. God's message is about life. And lastly, God's message is about a liability. A liability. Letter A, it is a precise liability. Let's go back to our text, John chapter 3. It is a precise liability. I got ahead of myself a little bit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, what's the next word? Believeth. The liability has been narrowed down to this word. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Belief. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a precise liability. It's not that every road leads to heaven. I'll choose one of them and get there. That's not what it says. It's precise. It's narrow. We read that in Matthew's gospel, right? Remember? We don't have time to go there. But it talks about narrow is the way that leads to life and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's precise. You've got to be right on with what the Bible says. No, you know, and we, again... lots of people, they're going to want to argue and they're going to want to debate. You know what? Again, we were challenged again this week. Just give them the Bible. This is what God's Word says. This is what God's Word says. It's precise. It's precise. And then lastly, it's personal. Letter B, it's personal. Well, I was born into a Christian home. I've had people tell me this. I was born into a Christian home. That's wonderful, but you know what? That's not personal enough. Well, I was confirmed by this pastor or this whatever. Or I was this or I was that. Or my mom and dad, they were good people. That's wonderful. But that's not personal enough. Now, whosoever believeth. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. And we'll probably this will be the last passage. Revelation 20. It's a personal liability. Revelation chapter 20, that whosoever, put your name in there, today you can be saved. Pastor Ben, if I died right now, I do not have the assurance that I would be in heaven. That can change like that. You can be saved right here today. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He died. Horrific death. His blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His blood was shed. He was placed in a borrowed tomb, and for 3 days, hell thought they had the battle won. For 3 days, I don't know what might have been happening in hell or what might have been happening with the devil or what might have been happening amongst the demons of the devil in hell. But for 3 days, maybe they thought we've got it. We've got this thing done. He's dead. We know that that's not the end of the story. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is risen. And you read that in the accounts of the gospel, scene of over 500 men at different times and women at different times. And we have the proof enough right here that Jesus Christ is alive. He's interceding today on your behalf and on my behalf. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's made everything possible that you and I might have eternal life. Now it's a personal liability. What will you do with Jesus? Revelation 20. The Bible speaks of those who reject Jesus right here. And I saw a great white throne, verse 11. Well, let's read about Satan's demise. Bless the Lord. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. That's the fate of our enemy, the devil. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. I believe that's where everyone is right now that died without Christ. I believe that's where they are right now, awaiting the great white throne judgment. It says, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You read about that word death in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. It's talking about that same death there. So death and hell, the devil, the demons, they're in the lake of fire forever. Praise God. But wait a minute. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's personal. If you jump into verse chapter 21, you see a whole different scene for the saved. New heaven and a new earth. Those that are without Christ, that reject God's love, this is their eternal dwelling place. And as I look at this Bible, I believe that hell has fire. I believe that it's not going to be a party in hell with all my buddies. We see the rich man, he's not having a party. He's in anguish. God, if you could just send Abraham, just send somebody to my brothers. Tell them about this place. And today I stand before you. I stand before you, a sinner saved only by the grace of God. I am not boastful about that. I am very grateful that I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. That verse of Scripture that I just read will not apply to me. Not because I am sinless, but because I have accepted Jesus' penalty. I have accepted the payment that was made on Calvary's cross. I have accepted Jesus Christ's gift, and He is mine, and I am His. And praise God, I am secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my message to you today is, if you do not have that security, do not leave this building without coming to this old-fashioned altar down here and saying, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. You've been coming to church for 15 years and everybody thinks you're saved, but you know you're not saved. I need Jesus. Come today to be saved. Don't wait. Why? Because one day you won't be able to take this finger and go over here like this. Mine's really beating right now, by the way. I didn't feel it too much earlier, but I can feel it really beating now. Without being unkind or anything, but one day these hands are just going to be like this, or like this. My body will be in a casket. Praise God, I won't be in that casket. I'll be in heaven with the Lord. What about you? What about you? This isn't trying to scare you. This is trying to show you the love of God. Because you're still alive, you have hope. You can be saved.